Hello and welcome to this special episode of Listening In. As you've heard throughout the series, this bonus episode is sponsored exclusively by our friends at Johnny Walker Blended Scotch Whiskey, who, besides having the smoothest Scotch whiskey on the planet, are pushing culture forward with their incredible work to advance underrepresented communities. This spirit of progress and stretching boundaries is something we're passionate about at Q-Code. We're truly proud to call them a partner on the show. To learn more about their First Strides program, visit johnnywalker.com. And with that, cheers, as we go behind the scenes of Listening In.
Hesty, play Listening In.
Playing Listening In, presented by Johnny Walker Blended Scotch Whiskey.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the behind-the-scenes extra special bonus episode of Listening In. I am your host from Q-Code Media, Sandra Yi Ling, and I am super excited to introduce you to the incredible Rachel Brosnahan and Sabrina Jaglom from the podcast itself. So Rachel plays our lead character, Julia, and is also a producer of the podcast with her company Scrap Paper Pictures. And Sabrina is our writer and director and creator and producer of the series as well. So hello, welcome, and thank you both for doing this and being here.
Thank you.
What an introduction. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, you know, I prepared that one in advance. What we're going to do is we're going to do a good old Q&A to get, you know, so all the exciting behind the scenes info from you both, and we'll just get into it. Sabrina, maybe you can give us like a little intro to what Listening In is all about and how you originated the idea or what your influences were when you were writing.
Yeah, well, Listening In is a audio drama about one woman, played by Rachel, whose home sound system begins transmitting conversations from other apartments in her building into her own. And at first she thinks that she's not sure what it is, and she becomes interested in listening to these various people all around her. And with time, she uncovers a larger conspiracy under her own roof that she gets caught up in. So it's a little bit of an audio Rear Window. That was a major influence. One of my influences was a true story that happened was when I was living in New York and I heard this crazy thing in my apartment building. I heard my neighbors in this massive fight, and the walls were paper thin, of course, and I heard them yelling. I heard them fighting. I got very concerned, and I was kind of like, what should I do? Is it my responsibility? Is it not to do anything to interfere? Do I call the cops? I don't know. It was like brutal sounding. And then they started laughing, and I realized with more listening, that they were actors rehearsing a scene in their apartment. And it really just made me think about the way our minds are crazy, and we can go to great lengths of imagining what is happening, and kind of the way that perception and reality through an audio lens is almost more like our mind. We're such visual people. So when we hear something, I think our minds go to greater lengths to imagine what that might be.
Oh, that's fascinating. I had no idea you definitely live in LA.
Well, now I live in LA. Yeah. That was in New York. Yeah.
I was going to say, that sounds like a New York thing.
Completely.
Oh. Well, Rachel, I want to ask you about Julia. Can you describe Julia and what attracted you to her as an actress?
Julia is a writer, and she is thoughtful and sharp and creative and generally pretty balanced. So I think when she starts overhearing these conversations that grow increasingly concerning and confusing for her, the fact that she goes so far off the deep end was it's always interesting to watch someone unravel, I suppose, especially someone who seemingly has their shit together, as it were. Although, are we allowed to curse in here?
You can do whatever you want.
Wow.
You can do whatever
I you love want. The audio yeah, space.
And what choices did you make in playing her for the podcast?
Well, I think a lot of those choices unfolded in the room or in the Zoom room, as it were, with Sabrina, who obviously created this. Mm. And, you know, this is not my first, but certainly one of my first forays into the audio space. And you lose as an actor the ability to use your face and use your, you know, your body to communicate. And so directors are so important in the audio space because they can let you know whether what you're intending is coming across. And so I feel like we played around with a lot of variations on single lines, which is something that you don't do, but also don't have the opportunity to do most of the time on camera or on stage. And so it was really fun. It was a really different process, and it was a really different process of making and finding choices along the way.
Amazing. This is a question I want to ask both of you. So Julia is a woman who discovers that her husband is keeping a secret from her that feels very, very serious, which is a very scary thing, right, in a partnership or marriage. So, like, is she scared? Like, what is she hoping to discover, do you think? And what does she do when she finds out, like, that there is this secret between them?
Yeah, well, I think at first, you know, there is this feeling of confusion, but also betrayal, right? And it's without even knowing what the secret is, knowing something is being kept from me. And in the particular case of Julia and this character in the story, she's new to a new city. She, you know, moved there for her husband Noah's job. So I think there's a feeling of isolation within your marriage, within your world and life. And at first, it's a natural instinct to just want to know what's going on with the person you're sharing your life. Obviously, as the series unfolds, you know, she learns a lot and there's more than meets the eye going on. But I think it's that feeling of really wanting to feel grounded in a partnership, and especially when the other parts of your life are feeling untethered.
And I think naturally, as I imagine it would be for most people, her first impulse is to trust the person that she's developed this long relationship with first and foremost. So when signs begin pointing to the idea that he may be being dishonest with her or something else may be going on, I think her first impulse is to quiet that voice that's becoming louder and louder inside her head. But in this story, it unfolds pretty quickly. It becomes undeniable pretty quickly, I should say, that something bigger is going on. And when she essentially gives him the opportunity to come clean and he doesn't, that betrayal is felt hard and fast and sets her and them both ultimately on this, careening on this path towards the end.
Yeah, and I also think because she is a writer too, there's that almost investigative part of being a writer where you want to know people and what's going on with them and what makes them tick. And the kind of more gaslighting side of that is saying, oh, are you just imagining it? Because you're a writer and you're imaginative. But I actually think it's that desire to kind of understand people on a deeper level and investigate is a big part of her personality too.
So Sabrina, how did characters like Noah and Henry evolve from the page to the audio with the casting of Manish Dayal and also David Aaron Baker? Did their roles shift or were their voices as you originally conceived?
Both Manish and David brought their own wonderful personalities to the role. I think Manish is such a wonderfully sweet guy and it works beautifully because, you know, Noah is also going through a lot. He's also stressed. And yes, of course, he acts like an asshole, but I think it works very well that the way he played it was not an asshole, someone who's stressed and frustrated and at the end of his rope. And you have to understand that these are people who did share a life that's devolving, but it doesn't just switch right away, right? It doesn't just go to now we hate each other. So the way he brought his performance to that role really helped. And David, in the role of Henry, you know, there's a way to play Henry that I think would have been wrong, where he's just yelling all the time. And he's such a powerful force. He doesn't need to. He knows he's powerful. And the way Henry really embodied that, sorry, David really embodied the role of Henry. It was really, you know, sometimes.
See, they're one in the same.
Exactly. really, he just was able to, with a line, kind of shut down the idea of conversation, really make his stance clear without having to. I mean, obviously he raises his voice a few times, but he didn't have to yell the whole time. He got to have that serious, solemn power.
And a fun fact, Manish and I have known each other for a really long time. We met doing a movie almost 10 years ago. And so this was a really, really fun reunion for us from our various closets across the country to be able to get to hang out and act together again. It was so fun.
Yeah, none of us were in the same state.
What was it like recording in the remote setting with him? Were you able to impact each other's performances?
Yes. Thankfully, because of Zoom and how commonplace it's become, I think we've become more accustomed to the slight delay and technical glitches and a little bit of the weirdness that is having a conversation on Zoom. And in some ways, it lends itself to the audio space because you are recording alone, so you're impacting each other, but it's okay to overlap because you're recording separately. If that makes sense, your mics are not picking up the other person's voice, so it can all mm-hmm. be pulled apart and put back together in the edit in a way that makes the most sense and tells the best story. But it was odd. I've only done one other podcast, and we did it in the studio. Most of us were together in the same space. And here, I only really got to hear everyone's performances together because I'm a producer on the project, but didn't perform with everyone.
With anyone besides Manish.
No one besides Manish. And so I had no idea really how David was going to play the role, for example, until I heard it back in post. And you just cross your fingers and hope that it all makes sense. But thankfully, Sabrina's there through the entire process and can help that make sure that everything's cohesive.
Yeah, that was, it's definitely a unique challenge. It was great. We recorded everything with Rachel first because then she could set the tone for the whole season kind of. And, you know, if an actor in another role made a choice that wouldn't match up, I was able to say, okay, this maybe doesn't fit. And then sometimes, you know, actually I was surprised that certain different conversations that maybe I didn't think were going to fit very well did, because all the actors were really just so talented and dropped into the role themselves. And it was a very interesting experiment putting them together. Usually, you know, if you're picking a take, usually both actors are in the same take the best, and finding different pieces was a unique experience for sure.
Did it take you longer than it normally does?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then on the flip side, no, because you're not doing visual, you're not doing all the other kind of elements. But
sure.
But yes, I feel like normally you discount takes in a post in traditional filmmaking more easily if one actor maybe isn't as on their game as the other one, or someone messes up a line, or the camera moves, or you have something in the background. You know, this was the quality was perfect across the board because it's everyone's in their closet. The audio is great. So it definitely took longer saying, okay, well, if we pair, you know, 1A from Rachel and like 6 from David, like how did this make it feel versus a different take? How does that make it feel?
You can also dissect the lines between takes in a different way that you can't do in the edit.
Totally. You could change out specific lines, or like Rachel said, we did a lot of just one lines over and over again. You never have that much variety, which is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, I bet. It's like ADR.
Yes. Yes.
So this question is for you, Rachel. I feel like audiences have known and loved you already as like a lead actor, but recently you've started to get into the game as a producer, and audiences are getting to know you in that respect as well. What was involved in being a producer and listening in, and what was that experience like for you?
It was great. As I said, this is a really new space for me and my team, and this experience was so different in a way that was really exciting from the previous one that we had. Both were great, but really different. And that's one of the things that we look for when we're looking for a project that we are interested in producing and not just something that I'm interested in performing in, is the opportunity to expand and grow and experiment in new spaces and new techniques and with new collaborators. And it was great. You know, we had a meeting with Sabrina and the team from Q-Code and Automatic, and we talked about the project and the way that Q-Code crafts their projects in the audio space, and we're very excited to try this new mode of creating. And we were able to be a part of the process of editing and crafting in post and all the way from sort of these early conversations through the end.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was on the periphery of it because I know I wasn't boots on the ground with you both, but I watched it all and it came together so beautifully between the two of you.
No, it did. It was great. It was really great. You know, we had Cuco, we had Automatic, we had Scrap Paper, and everyone lent a very different perspective. But it was wonderful. You know, when you have someone also attached to Starnet who's also producing, you can really dig into the character, I think, earlier on in a different way, which is very cool.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's been really nice. You know, we produce both projects that I'm in and projects that I'm not, but that is one of the particular advantages of being able to produce something that I'm in as an actor is exactly what you're saying. Those early conversations about character and story that normally you kind of show up on the day and you may have done all this homework at home and then something doesn't quite align or you know, you're sort of backing yourself into a lot of conversations that have been having for months before you arrive. And it's a real gift to be able to be even just in conversation with a writer and director early on in the process.
Yeah, I feel like the kind of script pass we did was so much more character focused earlier on. And it was really, I think it was great to do that before we got onto our fake Zoom set.
Yeah, like I can't quite remember how long it was from that initial meeting. I suppose we had conversations about script and then casting and yeah.
I think, well, it was a while because I think we first had a meeting and then you came on board and we started that process, but then I was shooting
and then
you were shooting.
Yeah.
We were back to back. Like we were both in New Mexico.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I was shooting. And I think as soon as I left, you went there. So we just put it on pause for a minute. But then I think as soon as we got the ball rolling with casting, it was all pretty quick to dive in. And that's one of the beauties of the audio space is you don't have to location scout and get a full crew at the beginning. You know, I think Cuco did a great job of the post-production crew is so built out and so impressive. And we had all those people, but for recording, you know, it was just checking availabilities for actors, but really we were able to dive in pretty quickly once we were free, which was special.
Well, and even more quickly with the way that we were recording remotely.
Totally.
Because we didn't have to align everyone's schedules to be able to be in the same place at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it was, you're right, it was really, really fast from once we pulled the entire cast together to actually having something in hand to be able to begin editing.
Yeah, I think we recorded 3 days kind of straight. And then a few weeks later, we did you and Manisha around there. And then we did everyone else kind of over like a few days. Oh yeah, we did a pickup after we started editing, which was really helpful because in audio, you know, it's that balance of you want people to understand what's going on, but you don't want to be too expository. You don't want to tell everyone everything all the time. And, you know, I really wanted the audience to feel like we're hearing what you're hearing and experiencing it with you, but not too much, you're not pandering to them and saying, yeah, now here's how I feel. But definitely in the edit process, there are a few moments on both sides, right? There are a few moments where actually I ended up cutting a few expository lines and then we did a pickup adding some of those things back in or a lot of efforts, I think you just like made yourself hyperventilate.
I was grunting a lot in my closet.
Because there's all the running around and sure, the footsteps and the audio design helps so much and the directionality of it, but feeling your presence was really something we added in and really helpful.
So I wanted to ask both of you as well about podcasting, like narrative fiction podcasting. Podcasting has been around for so many years, but in recent years, narrative podcasting or narrative fiction has really like increased a lot in popularity. So what attracted you to this story as a podcast, or do you find like it's more exciting in the podcasting space? Like how is the types of stories that you're able to tell in this space any different?
Well, it's kind of what I was just saying. First of all, the speed with which you can get something going is very exciting because the goal, I think, for all of us all the time is to make things, but you know, it takes a long time. So you get the money, you get the logistics, you get everyone involved, you know, it takes a long time. And obviously the writing process took some time, it's 8 episodes, but the actual recording process we were able to dive into. So that's very exciting. And, you know, I would say this is a fairly grounded show in a lot of ways, but you don't have to worry when you're writing it on my part, at least like, okay, well, will this be too expensive to shoot or feasible? Will we need stunts? Will we need, you know, visual effects? So you're definitely able to live in the space of storytelling and imagination a little bit more. And I think it was kind of what I was saying earlier. Viewers, I think audio is such a crazy cool tool because you imagine so much. So it's also really exciting to give over to the listeners the ability for them to see in their own mind's eye, like what these characters look like, what the apartment looks like, what the space looks like. Mm-hmm. So it's very different, but it's free in a lot of ways.
Do you think that opens it up to the kinds of stories you're able to tell, like being able to take more risks genre-wise or just like concept-wise?
Definitely. It's one of the most exciting things about the audio space, and it feels like we're just scratching the surface at this point. Like Sabrina said, there's still so much experimentation to be done in this audio space. It's always exciting when you can find or hear stories that have been tailor-made for this space. But also, as Sabrina said too, so much of this is just about storytellers wanting to tell stories and finding different ways to be able to do that and different ways to reach different audiences and to make something quickly if that's what you want to be doing. You know, it's just another medium to tell stories and to reach people with them. And, you know, audiobooks have been popular for a little bit longer. We've had these unscripted podcasts that rose in popularity in the last couple of years. And so in some ways, this feels like a marriage of the two.
Mm-hmm. It feels more accessible in some ways because people can listen while they're in their car or making their coffee. And, you know, I still love the idea of people sitting down and listening and focusing in, but it's actually beautiful that you can experience a story. And it's actually, you know, it's like a radio play, which is the predecessor to television and movies, you know, and it's this kind of beautiful cyclical thing where people access it in a very modern way on their phones and the tools we've used to record it are very advanced, but the origin is kind of a callback to when people really just like sat around the radio. And I think it's very cool.
It's cyclical.
Yeah.
In a way that feels good. And it also gives more kinds of creators the opportunity to tell their stories too, because it's not as expensive, because it can be done more quickly, because there's also new executives in this audio space who are looking for those brand new storytellers. It's an exciting new frontier in an industry that's evolving.
Sabrina, did you write this story for the podcasting medium from the inception? Like, how did you work on this story to be for a podcasting medium as opposed to film or television, which you've also got a lot of experience
in? The original idea I had is more of a, because I actually didn't know that it was an option to do it as a podcast, was for a feature or TV show, but I didn't write any of it until it became a podcast. So it was really, you know, it so lends itself to the audio space because it's about a sound device. It's about Julia, Rachel's character, listening and hearing things. And so we actually get to listen with her and hear with her. So when I actually met with someone at Automatic about that they were looking for a podcast. And I was like, wow, this idea would be so perfect for the space. And what I love is I didn't, you know, I think sometimes people try and kind of retrofit ideas into that space. And this was really something that from the development of the script was really intended to be listened to in this way.
It also creates such an intimate experience. Mm-hmm. To your point, the idea of listening in, you have an audience that's listening or that's sort of voyeuristically eavesdropping on all these different conversations, but they're also listening to Julia listen. Mm-hmm. And there's something so intimate about the form that way and inviting and thrilling that it feels like you create in different ways in different mediums, but this one does feel tailor-made to do.
Yeah, it's more of a true POV perspective of the character. You know, it's kind of what you can access that in literature very well because you can write the monologue, and in film, obviously, it's done often. But I think something about the audio space, it really feels voyeuristic but intimate. And I think that's also kind of about technology in general. Technology very much connects us but also is a barrier between us, and it's this way where you feel like you're kind of like social media, for example. It's like you feel like you're really intimately involved in someone's life, but you're actually removed. And that dichotomy is something that thematically is important, and I think also just very much in the way that you consume this type of media.
So the technology in listening in, which is a listening device called Hesty, plays an integral role to the story. So do you feel like that is a commentary on how we're using technology in our everyday lives?
little bit of both. I think that definitely, like I was just saying, mm-hmm. I do believe technology is an amazing tool. You know, Rachel's in New York right now. I'm in LA. You know, we're on Zoom. We're having an interview. We're almost together, right? And that's mm-hmm. very cool. But it's also, there is a sense of removal. And I think the Hestie device is one of those home listening sound devices that, you use it as a way to access your media, your calls, your friends, but it's also something in the middle, in the way. And I think, yeah, the intimacy of technology, but also the voyeurism thematically was important in writing it. It's, the message is not to me, technology is evil. You know, it's technology is a mm-hmm. way to open up doors that weren't already there. And also sometimes a Pandora's box, so to speak, comes through those doors. And in the series, that's very much what happens. You know, it's for the best that Julia uncovers all this, but it also creates mayhem and chaos. And so I think that's a bit of an intended parallel between technology and the story.
You don't think there's like a warning of be careful how you use technology?
I mean,
I think maybe it's more just that we're a little bit that our lives are so deeply intertwined with technology.
Yes. Yeah.
That whether intended mm-hmm. or not, we are a bit at the mercy of a technology that we don't quite understand yet how powerful it is.
And how it'll continue to affect yeah. us. You know, it's not so much here's technology, this invasive thing. It's completely immersed in our lives. And I think it has both pros and cons to that. And if people view it as a warning, that's a personal choice, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to get any juicy answers, like a journalist.
Yeah,
I'm not.
No, I get it. I think it's how people, I'm always very fascinated about technology and stories, not the tech itself, but how people relate to each other because of technology. And that's the world we live in. You know,
yeah.
we communicate through technology most of the time these days. And it's not so much about the tech, but as the way it changes our relationships to each other and ourselves. Whether that's good or bad, time will tell.
Well, and in this story, you know, while one relationship is broken in effect by technology, there are others that are created.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a bit of a double-edged sword that way. And yeah, I think it's meant to invoke more questions than answers about any of this stuff.
Completely.
It feels like in the grand scope of technology and whatever lies ahead in a technological future, we're in its infancy.
Yes.
It feels like anyway.
Yeah.
And we have so much to learn about its power. And we're in the midst of a time when we are all asking questions about, you know, exactly what our devices know about us and who has access mm-hmm. to that information and who doesn't
yeah.
and what privacy means and have we signed it away, you know?
Who just clicks accept all cookies all the time because it's easier.
mm-hmm. It's easier and sometimes there really isn't another option.
True.
If you want to use something or you need to for work. And so, you know, we don't know necessarily where all of our data is going. So certainly I read the script for the first time and was reminded of a lot of the questions that I'm grappling with in this moment. And I think audiences at home might be to have conversations about what they think the answers are to those questions for themselves.
That's really well said. That's really, really well said. Is there anything else that either of you would like to share about the process that has come up?
It was really fun to see people's different setups.
Yeah.
How they manage this. I mean, I'm looking right now at the inside of your closet.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I don't have the same setup that I did, but I was like hunched over a microphone inside a closet that was ill-equipped.
In a murder house.
In the murder room. Yeah. In a very murdery room in my house. And, you know, we got to see inside, basically inside people's underwear drawers. It was a very intimate experience from afar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just locking my underwear right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, I also think for me, you know, whenever you kind of write something, you see it in your head and this takes away that, but added so many other layers and just the hearing the stages of it come together it was so cool. You know, you hear the audio and then we hear, you know, we swapped all the takes, we built that out and then you had the sound effects and you had the score and then the mix. And I think just the process of each step really adding such a deep layer was very cool. And, the way that the sound becomes so directional and the way that certain characters feel farther away and closer was something that, you know, you don't get when you're just recording. And so adding that in later in post-production was really cool.
Amazing. Well, thank you both so much. Very, very appreciative for your time. And I know that our listeners will be very, very excited to listen to the bonus episode of Behind the Scenes of Listening In. So great. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Rachel Brosnahan and Sabrina Jaglom. Produced by Sandra Yi Ling and Jack Friedman. Head of Music, Darren Johnson. Audio Engineering by Ryan Walsh and David Tattershaw. Edited by Ryan Walsh. Head of Mix, Ben Milchev. Production Coordinator, Tom Breck. Production Assistant, Nick Curl. Listening In is a Q-Code, Automatic and Scrap Paper Pictures production. Sound recording copyright 2022 by Q-Code Media Incorporated.
Get ready for Tangents with Tyler and Todd, a brand new podcast that will be the newest addition to your weekly routine. Hi, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Todd, and we're your hosts, ready to dive in headfirst as we explore life's biggest questions. We were kind of caught up in other people's goals of what's normal.
And not for a moment did we let up the gas enough to think, what do we want? While giving ourselves permission to go completely off the rails.
I don't think that dildo is, you can make it an adjective.
Dildoing?
Yeah.
Did I do that or did they?
It's giving comedy show with a sprinkle of soul searching on top. Premiering October 18th, Tangents with Tyler and Todd is your new go-to podcast that will make you laugh, cry, and question everything.
With new episodes every Wednesday, get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with us every week. Tangents is coming and you won't want to miss this.
Mark your calendars for October 18th and subscribe to Tangents with Tyler and Todd wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Whether you're in a relationship, single, or recently heartbroken, you could be navigating some tough stuff. And it really can be challenging to do this on your own. We all need help when it comes to our relationships, very specifically, our love lives. I'm Jillian, and each week on my podcast, Jillian on Love, I share skills on how to strengthen our relationships, how to build a stronger sense of self, and how to heal heartbreak and choose better partners. Learn how to start making change today and search for Jillian on Love wherever you're listening now.
Hi, just checking in and seeing if you might want to step away from the noise of the world for just a moment and connect back to you. If so, join me on my podcast, Letting It Settle with Michael Galyan, where we'll explore mindfulness, self-love, and personal growth as I share practical insights and tools to hopefully help inspire you to start to take charge of your mental and emotional well-being. Search for Letting It Settle with Michael Galyan on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening now.